Well, welcome to another Neil's Minutes. It has been a long time. I've been busy with leaving and going to Australia for a month, and I got back about, well, almost exactly a week ago today. A lot of stuff happened in Australia. Jesus talked to me a lot about the reality of his kingdom, the difference between what we do and what his kingdom is about. He told me that on this trip I was going to be changed, and I didn't recognize the reality of the awesomeness of God's kingdom and the reality of the audacity and destructive, diabolical nature of the enemy. So God has been talking a lot to me. It's been an interesting conversation, in that it is requiring in me to have a different focal point and a different starting point, I guess, maybe. I had to begin to look at a lot of stuff that I've learned in traditional Christianity over the last 35 or so years, 40 years. But I have been speaking about some of this stuff for quite a long time that I've had a lot of problems with. But on this trip, there was a demonstration to me both of God's kingdom and the enemy's audacity and diabolical nature. It takes words to create God's kingdom, and it takes words to create Satan's kingdom. He can, whatever God reveals, then he can twist and use and manipulate for his own will. And we just don't really seem to understand the importance of our words and the importance of our position with the Lord. On this trip that I've taken, I saw quite a few people delivered from the demonic realm and moved and translated into the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God. And I saw the fullness of the nature of God's love for the lost. But I also saw the deceptions and the reality of how the enemy uses God's truth in ways to divert us from the truth, to speak something that is almost the truth, but actually, because it is a compromised position of the words we're speaking, it produces life and death. The enemy wants us to disregard the strength and reality of what our words produce. God is always telling us how important our words are and how they face shape the future, and they do change the future. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. A righteous man shall live by the fruit of his lips. The sons of God, the true sons of God, are led by the Spirit of God. No matter how badly that we end up taking his word and twisting it, or using it for wrong purposes, or not hearing exactly what he's saying and speaking what we desire to speak, telling him what to do, all of the things that we find in our Christianity, he forgives us and lives still in this place of trusting us to be his kingdom. He tells us that our battle is not in this fleshly kingdom, but in the spiritual one. We tend to look at the physical and try and fix the physical by doing stuff in the physical, when in reality, Jesus says our battle is against principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness. You know, there's so many references to his kingdom, God's kingdom, being spiritual, not physical. We see the results of his kingdom in the flesh, or in the physical realm, when we do battle in the spirit. So he took me to the Lord's Prayer and began to show me, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Number one, we're supposed to have everything we're doing be about exalting Him, causing the world to know Him. We Christians seem to think that about all of His glory, about all of His promises, about all of His provision for us, but we never really seem to take the reality of the responsibility of that into this realm we live in and into the spirit realm we're supposed to live in. In many ways, we tell God what to do in our prayers rather than ask Him what we should be and do. Jesus lived for the audience of one. He lived to fulfill the desire of the Father's heart. He showed us what mankind was created to be, what we were to look like, how we were to respond, what we were to show the world. Remembering Jesus never spoke a word, did anything, went anywhere. All that He did, all that He was about the Father's will, not His own. He even tells us that He could do no mighty works. It was the Father who did the works. We attribute so many things to Jesus that Jesus in Himself speaks and says it's not true. According to Jesus, He only spoke what the Father told Him to, went where the Father showed Him, taught what the Father taught Him. He was an exhibition of the kingdom of heaven. He was the one who was showing us who we are. He's the second Adam. And in that, we have changed what He says to meaning, well, I guess we're in authority. Wrong answer. Jesus never took authority. Jesus always was the servant of Him who sent Him. So let's go back and look at that and rethink about what we do. We want to defeat the enemy. Then we must walk like Jesus, which means we're always under and in authority, under first, because we live for the audience of one, not to do our own will, not to make our own decisions, but to follow Him who knows all, He who is the head of all, the Father God Himself. Okay, our job is not to change the physical realm. Our job is to walk in the spiritual realm. He tells us that, you know, that the heavenly kingdom is what we're supposed to bring to bear on earth. We are supposed to bring that kingdom to the earth. I want to give three scriptures that I think we need to look afresh at. There's a lot more, but I can't put it all into one Neil's minutes. So I'm going to begin with Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. To me, who am the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that, now here's the scripture, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus His Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. There is a responsibility to this relationship that we have or say we have with Jesus or with the Father through Jesus. And that responsibility is to hear and to walk like Jesus. He tells us He sends us just like Jesus. That means that we don't make our own decisions ever. We don't take a word God gives us and then make a plan for it. We wait until He reveals the steps to us and we follow Him and walk under that dominion that Christ walked under, which is the will of the Father, recognizing that it's the Father who does the works. And whenever we stray from following and trusting, we end up with very little works. It is our job to make known to the principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness in high places the manifold wisdom of God. And what is the manifold wisdom of God to them? That Jesus rules and reigns and they don't. Unfortunately, we've taken that responsibility and says, God, you have to obey us. We will decide how to reveal Your glory and Your dominion. And we tend to make assumptions which don't work out very well. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can see us, because what we're doing has not changed our country. In many aspects, we've lost our country because we are not followers of the way, we are commanders getting in the way. The second scripture I want to talk just a moment on is Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10 and going to 18. What is the whole armor of God? What is it that we're supposed to have that vanquishes the devil, vanquishes the enemy's kingdom, and produces and brings God's kingdom? It is really the presence of God. Period. God is the whole armor. He is everything that is listed there, and there is one purpose, and that is to defeat the enemy. And if I'm going to defeat the enemy like Jesus did and in his name, then I must come to the place and recognize that getting a general word from God requires that we stop and we listen and find out the next step. And each step we take must be guided by the hand of the Lord in a humility, not an arrogance. We cannot demand of God it to take and do his will. We are to follow him. Paul says, come follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus says, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. So the reality of this is that we have to find this place of giving up to the Lord. By that, I mean our demanding and commanding is the result of us listening, and it's not about demanding and commanding God, but it is of taking authority in Jesus' name over the enemy in absolute obedience to exactly what he says and what he tells us, not the concept of what he asks us and tells us, but in obedience and trust that what he says exactly is what I need to give to defeat the enemy. The last scripture is Philippians 1, 27 and 28, where God is telling us what to walk and how we should not fear our enemies, which to them is a sign and proof of their perdition, but to us of our salvation, and that from God. When we are walking and living in the Spirit, it's not so much that there's a change, but there's a change of focus and there's a change of procedure, because the procedure is, I am not going to do anything unless the Father explicitly tells me to, and I'm going to not do it to be seen or get glory, but I'm going to do it because he says, say so, or do this. There has to be a complete place of trust in the reality that we are seated with him in the spiritual or heavenly places. We're blessed and given great and precious promises whereby we become a partaker of the divine nature. It doesn't say we are divine in a sense, it says we become a partaker of that position, that place with God. We are to be the evidence that Christ still lives. We're to be someone who literally walks in a place of I only do and speak and go as God the Father directs me specifically. We're going to need to see our sonship and our relationship with God the Father, the Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit in a place of being sons and daughters of honor who take the responsibility to be a bondservant of the Father and Son, to accomplish his will on the earth. We must live in the Spirit and walk on the earth. Our living in the Spirit is going to change what we see. It's going to change how we hear. It's going to change what we hear, and it will release a freshness to the gospel that we only find as through the book of Acts and in the book. There needs to be a place where we are an exhibition of the kingdom of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. I need to recognize my sonship, but also remember that I am to be a bond slave, bond servant, because the Father is the one who understands all and knows all and is the love that never fails. Somehow, I'm hoping that we find a place to give honor to God more and to trust more so that we don't have to add to or take from what he tells us, what he asks us to do. The gospel is really simple. We are to live in Christ, for Christ, to Christ, from Christ. We are to exalt the Father by bringing his kingdom and life that is in his kingdom to bear on earth. All of creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. We are now sons of God. It yet has not been revealed what we shall be, but when we see him, we will be like him. Those statements tell me that there's stuff that has to change. Living with Christ has to be every day, and it has to be everyone. We need to move away from exalted leaders and find the leaders who will get off the podium and serve the people so that the people may walk like God. If we look at Ephesians 4:11 through 15, it doesn't talk about us being exalted ones. It talks about us being servants of all so that everyone may come to the place where they walk in the fullness of Christ. That really should mess with all of us, that we walk out this life with humility and hunger to see God's love be what it is. In my trip to Australia and to the outback and the indigenous peoples of Australia, for the most part, during this last month, as I endeavored not to have my own plan and not trying to tell God what to do and where to do it and how to do it, I experienced a lot of little meetings from anywhere from 5 people to 30. And in the midst of those encounters and with the times that we were there with these people, God just kept doing miracles of deliverance and healings. I think that Des and I, we prayed for a lot of people, but I don't think either one of us can look back and find one that wasn't changed and you could see the change. You didn't have to ask them if they were healed or delivered. It showed. And I know the Lord's trying to show me that this is what the kingdom of God should be like for anyone. But to do that, we're going to have to come back and find a way that we impart the reality of the responsibility of sonship and show people how they can walk in this place without having to be perfect, without having to be a leader, without having to have a special anointing, but just recognizing that the promises of God are yea and amen.